Sì. Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles, please, to the book of Mark in chapter 10 and verses 46 to 52. Pastor's been begun a series on the book of Mark, and I was wanting to preach about the healing of a blind man. And it seemed that the book of Mark in this passage seemed to really have the sort of most information that I wanted. And so forth. And so we've gone to this passage, even though in Matthew and Luke, they also give us a rendition of this same event. But I was talking to Pastor, and I think, if I remember rightly, he said that he didn't have exclusive rights to the book of Mark. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to preach from the book of Mark today. And that's all right. Pastor can preach this again when he gets there, and maybe by God's grace this will be somewhat of a preview for you or something, and then maybe God wants us to see something twice, and that'd be good. So the portion of Scripture this morning that we're looking at is Mark 10 and verses 46 to 52, and the title for this morning's message is, Are You Seeing or Blind? Are you seeing or blind? Let's read together, shall we? You follow along in your Bibles as I read. Mark 10, verse 46 through to 52. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you so much for your precious word that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for the light that it shines for us, Father, to give us understanding, Lord, even though we may be simple in our minds, to give us wisdom that we do not have. Father, thank you that your word contains that glorious message, the greatest message which has ever entered the cosmos, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do pray, Father, that you would please have your full and perfect will and way here, that every barrier would be broken down, that satanic darts would be quenched, and that, Lord, you would please have your perfect will and way, Father. I don't know the need of every heart, and Lord, only you know what is in every person's heart here this morning. Father, that which is the stumbling block to those who are lost from being saved, that which holds people back from seeing as you see. And I pray, Father, that you would please empty me myself at this time and fill me with the Holy Spirit, so very dependent upon you, Lord God, to fulfill your perfect will and purpose here this morning, that you'd take, Father, these meager preparations, and that, Lord, you would cause it to be multiplied like the bread and fish to the 5,000. And Father, that you would fill us this morning, fill our hearts, not just our heads, Father, but fill our hearts with your spiritual food and fulfill all thy will for the glory of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. For without him we can do nothing. In his name we do pray. Amen. Okay, for somewhat of a broad outline I have for you here this morning is we have 6 points. First of all, talking here about this blind man Bartimaeus, first of all, we have his condition, verse 46. His crying, verse 47 to 48. His calling, verse 49. His coming, verse 50. His conversion, verses 51 to 52a. His consecration, verse 52b. First of all, we look at his condition. His condition, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. So here we have our Lord coming towards the end of his ministry, and he's on his way to Jerusalem to die. And as he comes in this particular area, there is a man there who is blind, cannot see. And we know from other accounts here in the Gospels that there are actually two blind men. Bartimaeus was not the only one, but there was another one there with him. What a terrible thing to be blind. Have you ever been in a cave and turned out all the lights and you can literally see nothing? And everything is unstable. Everything, you don't know which way. You might walk into a cave and think, yeah, I could find my way out of here. But as soon as the light is gone, you just can't see anymore. And you can't see your hand in front of your face. And I suppose we could say that is something what it must be like for someone who is blind and who can't see. So we see here this man being unable to see, that he suffered much. He was in continual darkness and he was unable to enjoy the blessings that so many others could who could see. We take it very much for granted that we can see. Do you know that that's very much like what we are before we're saved? Is that we're blind. And that we can't see God and we can't see the goodness of God necessarily, and we can't see life the way we ought to because we're blind before we're saved. In John 3:3, the Lord said, Jesus answered and said unto him, talking to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's a blindness there. And even the devil likes to blind people's eyes, 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We also see not only was he a blind man, he was a beggar. There were no disability pensions in those days. The consequence of being blind was to be a beggar. The blind and the lame were at the mercy of those around them. And it was this condition which caused Bartimaeus to cry out to the Lord Jesus and to call upon him. And you know, isn't that, don't we see that as far as people before they are saved, before they know the Lord Jesus, that in this condition, until they really see that they have a need, why would they call on the Saviour? And sometimes people come to the Lord Jesus and they may come with a certain desire, but they haven't yet seen their real need. Until you see your need of a Saviour, you cannot be saved. A lot of people think they don't need, they don't see any need of having a Saviour. People are very proud and very self-righteous. But we see that Bartimaeus was not too proud to cry out for mercy. How many people are too proud to admit that they're a sinner? And that they're sinners who are in need of God's forgiveness. I believe a lot of Aussies are like that. A lot of Aussies are very self-righteous. They think that they're okay. They say, oh, I'm a good person. No, I'm not a saint, but I'm a good bloke. I'll try to do what's right. But you know, chapter 3, verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's you, that's me, that's everyone. Not any one of us can say that we are good people. I had a lady on the door yesterday I was speaking to, and she found it very hard because she was trying to say, well, it's just people's environments which make them the way they are. But no, man in and of himself is inherently sinful. Man is not inherently good, but inherently bad. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know, when people are born into this world, they are born spiritually blind. We can read in Scripture elsewhere about a man who was blind from his mother's womb, he was blind right from birth. And just like that man was born blind physically, all people are born blind spiritually. People are born spiritually blind and spiritually dead. And you know, a lot of people don't actually realize that they have a need. They don't actually realize that they're blind. One time when I was in Sydney, I was doing work for myself, and I went to this lady's house to potentially do some work for her. I never ended up doing any. But anyway, this lady seemed to want to tell me a lot about her problems and so forth and the things that she was going through. So I didn't get paid for that. But anyway, she sat there and she talked about the different things she was having difficulty with. And she spoke about how she had this little adopted girl and how that at school she'd been having problems when she would look at the whiteboard and how she couldn't see properly. And when they finally found out that she had this problem, they asked her, said, "Why didn't you say anything?" And she said, "I just thought that was the way it was." She didn't realise she had a problem. And until we can realise that we have a problem, we can't be saved. Until we realise, I have a sin problem, that which keeps me blind and keeps me in darkness. And once we realise that, then we can call out for mercy from the Saviour. Have you ever tried speaking to people who are spiritually blind? Not long before I came to Bathurst, I went over to one of my workmate's house and I was talking with him and with his partner. And I'm trying to reason with them. I'm trying to bring them back to a biblical basis, showing them what they believe. They have no basis for anything. And tugging and pulling. And then, you know, talking about their issues of morality and about abortion and trying to pull them onto a true and actual footing. When I drove away, I felt like crying. Trying to get through to people who are blind. Are you blind today, or are you seeing? Have you seen the Saviour? Do you know that a lot of people have been blinded by the devil? 2 Corinthians 4:4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Do you know the devil loves to blind people so that they miss God's plan of salvation? He's willing to feed anybody anything. He's willing to let them believe anything they want to believe, so long as they do not come to know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. And you know, millions and millions of people have followed false religious paths and false Christ to their eternal destruction. Oh, it's a lovely religion. No, it's a highway to hell. And that's the thing about religions out there. They give a nice exterior, but they are gilded doorways to eternal hell. Oh, I'm a very religious person. You can be very religious, but you can be lost. You can be very sincere and still be blind. Just been working recently at a Catholic school. And there's a doorway there and you can walk through it. And over the doorway it says something like, "Love and compassion to all who enter." Something along those lines. And I had to walk through this area more than once to go to somewhere else. And I think when you walk in, there was must have been their chapel or whatever. There was a dark feel there. Not just because the light was dark, but you know, some of these places which say they are supposed to be the way to God are spiritually dark and spiritually dead. And God isn't there. And how many people blindly follow priests or imams, religious leaders, who themselves are blind? What did our Lord say of the Pharisees? He said, "Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." And it's a terrible thing. We were talking to this girl on the door yesterday, and she was a Catholic, and we're trying to show her the gospel, and Brother Paul Tweedy and I were there talking with her for quite some time. She basically said, "No, I wouldn't look into that. I wouldn't look into what you believe. You know, basically, I'm a Catholic," and so forth. Why be blind? Why hang on to those things which would take one to hell? Pharisees thought they had the edge on things, but they were blind. And the Lord said to them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." We must realize what our condition is. Not only did you see his condition that he was blind, there in total darkness, we next see his crying. His crying, verses 47 to 48. "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" You know, people who are missing either sight or hearing have to rely more heavily on the other sense, which they do have. The deaf must rely on their eyes and the blind must rely on their ears. And from what we can see here from this passage, it seems that Bartimaeus must have listened to the reading and teaching of the Old Testament. He understood who the Messiah was. When he said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me," he was referring to Christ as being the Messiah. And it was a known fact amongst the religious people of that day that the Lord Jesus would be the son of David. And that can be seen from the response to the Lord's questions in Matthew 22:42 to the Pharisees. They said that the Messiah, the Christ, was David's son. And perhaps he probably heard stories about the Lord Jesus and his miracles from people who passed by. Although he was in darkness, where he sat and as he begged, no doubt he heard talk of the Lord Jesus and talk of his miracles. And perhaps in his heart he hoped and waited for the day that he would come in contact with Jesus the Messiah. You know, people foolishly say, "I only believe in what I can see." Have you heard that before? "I only believe in what I can see. If I can't see it, well, I don't believe in it." You know, Bartimaeus didn't need to see the Lord Jesus to believe in him. He'd never seen anything, but he was able to believe in the Messiah. And you know, you don't have to have literally seen the Lord Jesus Christ with your physical eyes to be able to come to know him as your personal Savior and to be able to believe in him. And God has given us enough information to be able to know that he exists and to be able to know him as well. We see in 1 Peter 1:8 that even though we have not seen him, we love him. Those of us who have been saved, we love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So here in this matter of his cry, not only have we seen his plea, but we also see his persecution. His persecution. And we hear that there are others who say, tell him to be quiet. It says, "And many charged him that he should hold his peace." Be quiet. Don't bother the Messiah. Don't bother this great teacher. Keep silence. And you know, it's strange. This miracle was right at the end of the Lord's ministry, and this was not the first time that he had made the blind to see. But for some reason, these people did not approve of Bartimaeus crying out to the Lord Jesus. What we can see from another passage there where the Lord heals another blind man, the disciples asked the Lord a question. They said, it says in John 9:2, "And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" Perhaps the Jews who were there at this time, they thought, "No, you know, this is your fault. Or this is the fault of your parents that you're blind." But we see our Lord is merciful in what he does for him. And you know, if you are seeking the Lord Jesus today, if you're lost and you are seeking the Lord Jesus, ignore those who tell you not to come, who tell you not to come to the Saviour. Ignore them. Come to the Lord. And for you who want to see have a greater glimpse of the Lord Jesus, you who have a greater desire to see more of Christ, don't listen to the critics. There'll be people there who'll be ready to hose you off and say, "Cool down, you're too fanatical. Why is it that you so badly want to see more of Christ? Just calm down, settle down." But don't listen to those people. But also we see in his crying, we see his persistence. It says, "But he cried the more a great deal." He cried the more a great deal. And perhaps we can see that here in his whole heart attitude, in the very essence, the very depth of his soul, that his very soul is crying out. And perhaps as the Lord Jesus approaching, and he there in darkness asks and says, "What is it? What's all this noise about? Who is this?" And they say, "It's Jesus of Nazareth." And he begins to cry out and he says, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And they say, "No, shh, shh, quiet." And he says, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Shh, shh. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Don't be afraid to cry out to the Lord Jesus and to cry out for mercy. If you come to the Lord Jesus in repentance and faith as a lost person, you cry out to him, God will not do anything but extend mercy to you, to a true and repentant person. He was not going to miss this opportunity of a lifetime. Perhaps he was there for years or over a year sitting there having heard about what the Lord Jesus had done in other places. And he was not about to let this opportunity pass by. And we see from Scripture, apart from the healing of the ear of the servant of the high priest following this, the healing of Bartimaeus and the other blind man's sight were the last healing miracles that we read of in Scripture before our Lord's death, burial, resurrection and ascension. And you know, don't we see here the importance of obeying the gospel message, that there is no guarantee of tomorrow, that we do not know what holds tomorrow, but when the opportunity of salvation is there, that it is to be taken. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and the end of verse 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And had Bartimaeus missed this opportunity, he may never, ever have received his sight. Take the opportunity to get saved. God offers an opportunity, not only of a lifetime, but of an eternity. Don't miss the opportunity. And how we as Christians, when our Lord draws near to us, we ought to draw nigh to him. How we should not miss an opportunity of having an audience with the King of Kings. How we should not miss the opportunity of going to the Saviour and allowing him to open our eyes more clearly to who he is and to his truth. Don't miss an opportunity. How often do we sacrifice that which is precious? We sacrifice time with our Saviour on things which we'll never probably even remember in eternity. Also, we see, verse 49, we see his calling. And what I mean by his calling is the fact that the Lord called him. It says, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. You know, our Lord said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. To those people, oh, he was just a no account. He shouldn't call out to the Lord. The Lord's an important person. But no, the Lord Jesus came to save sinners. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And you know, only God knows hearts here this morning. But are you one of those people who feels lost? Who feels spiritually blind? Be of good comfort. Lord Jesus Christ is seeking you. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Here in this passage as well, we also see the picture of soul winning. And it is true that it is God that draws men, women, boys and girls to himself. And you know, God also uses human instrumentality as well. And God not only commands all men everywhere to repent, he commands those who have been saved to preach the gospel to others. And you know, some people wrongly say, they say, no, don't evangelize. Don't evangelize, that's God's work. You know, we don't interfere with that. You know, just leave that up to God. We see here in this passage, there was not a person there at this time who in and of themselves could make Bartimaeus or the other man see. There's not a person there who could come and touch their eyes and restore their sight. But you know what? They could actually lead those people to the Lord Jesus. And you know, that's the same for us. There's not one of us here who can take away the sins of others. And we can't save a soul, but you know what? We can lead someone to the Saviour and say, here is the one who can help you. They could not restore his sight, but they could lead him to the Saviour who could. Also, we see in verse 50, his coming. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. You know, when God calls you, come straight away. You know, he didn't just dilly-dally and sit there. He threw away his garment so he could get to the Lord and just went straight to him. Make it your single desire to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody or anything hinder you. Be a wholehearted seeker of the God of truth. Notice that there were no objections. He didn't say, no, you come over here and you touch my eyes and heal me and you do things this way and that way. People in the world can be like that. Oh, you know, how can there be a God, you know? Or basically, if God comes down and does this, this and this, well, then I'll believe in him. Now we go to God on his terms. There was no objections. He just simply obeyed and came to the Saviour. And we see that God blesses faith. And in verse 52, he said, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Some people want to approach God in their own way. They say, "No, I don't like this plan of salvation. I want to find my own way to God. I believe I can come to God in this way or in that way or through my religion or through my church. I can do it a different way." But the Lord says that those who climb up another way into the sheepfold, the same are thieves and robbers. Okay, they are the fakes. We must come to God in his way. And when a person says, "I know that I'm a sinner, I know that I'm in darkness, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee if you want to be saved." Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Also, we see, verse 51 to 52a, we see his conversion. His conversion. And the Lord Jesus answered him and asked him a question, didn't he? When he came up, he didn't heal him straight away, but he asked a question. "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And what did he say? "Make me rich. Make me popular. Make me handsome." He said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And you can see here that the main problem for Bartimaeus, humanly speaking, was his blindness. Couldn't see. And it was for that reason that he was in all the trouble that he was. And for people, they must come to that point where they see themselves in their true and actual need before the Lord. Sometimes you can ask, this is a good question to ask people. To ask people if you are being a soul winner, you can say, "You know, if the Lord Jesus were here right with you now, what would you ask him to do for you in light of all that we've spoken about?" And people can come out with different things. "Oh, I'd ask him to, you know, look after my children," or "I'd ask him to bring my marriage relationship back together." You know, God cares about people's marriage relationships. God cares about people's children, but the main and actual problem that people have is sin. And unless that person is saying, "I want to be saved from my sins, I want to be forgiven," that person is probably not ready to be saved. Also, we see the compassion of our Lord in this. In Matthew chapter 20, in that account, verse 34, it says, "So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." He had compassion. There's no objections there from Bartimaeus saying, "You know, oh, where's God? You know, how could God allow something? Could God allow me to be blind?" He didn't say that. No, he came to the Lord, and the Lord had compassion upon him. Had compassion and touched their eyes, him and the other one. And we don't know exactly how this happened. Maybe the Lord went to one and placed both his hands on the eyes of one, and then placed his hands on the eyes of the other. Or maybe he stood there with them both before him and placed both hands on their eyes to restore their sight. So imagine it from their point. There they stood in total darkness. And then they felt the pressure of the hands of the compassionate Saviour upon their eyes. And as their eyes were opened, what did they see? Not only did they see the light of day, they saw the light of the world. They opened their eyes and see the Lord Jesus right there in front of them. Do you remember the time when you saw for the first time the light of the world, the Lord Jesus? I remember the night when my eyes were opened and the joy and the peace that was in my heart after I'd called upon the Saviour and the light that was then in my soul. Do you know that even once we're saved, though, we can sometimes as Christians be blind and not see as God wants us to? Revelation 3, please. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14 to 18. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. So here, speaking to the Laodicean church, our era, and we see that they were thinking that all things were well, but we see that they were in a state of blindness. One of the big problems is that they're blind, but they don't know that they're blind. They're thinking that all is well. And don't you know of churches like that, and the doctrines down the spout, Christian living's down the spout, but they think everything's great. Everything's awesome. It's all good. There's no problem. And that is the state, and that is blindness, isn't it? Thinking that all is well when it is not. May God keep us from that. We don't always see things clearly, but how we need the Lord to illuminate, to help us to see clearly. You know, have you ever been in situations or looked at situations and said, I just don't understand why it is like this? I can't see why it's like this, and I can't see why God has allowed this. And I can't see why these people over here are on the wrong side of this problem, and I don't know what the problem is over here with so-and-so, and I don't know why I'm in this situation. And you just can't see why it's like that. Go to the Saviour and say, Lord, open my eyes that I can see it as you see it. Lord, open my eyes. We can be so lacking in wisdom, not able to discern why a problem or why something is a particular way or why we're in a certain situation. James 1:5-7 says, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You know, we can go to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't see as you see, but Lord, open my eyes. Give me wisdom to see things as you see them. And another good thing would be to ask the question in a certain situation, what is it that God is trying to teach me? God has allowed this. What is it that God is trying to teach me? Also, finally, it says, and immediately he received his sight. And don't we once again see that wonderful truth there of salvation, that salvation is instantaneous. It wasn't over a gradual period of time in this case, but he saw straight away. And, you know, that's what the Lord does when he saves a person. He saves someone at a point in time. And people think that, oh, I just morph into becoming a Christian. I just sort of start believing and I start going to church and eventually I just become a Christian. Okay, it's not like becoming a surfer or a football player or something like that. It's at a point in time that we are converted, that we are saved, and that we are born again. Also, yes, his consecration, end of verse 52, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way, his consecration. And you know, although there was an entire world out there which Bartimaeus had never seen, it seems that in the joy of receiving his sight, he only had eyes for the Saviour. Isn't that wonderful? There he is, his eyes are opened, he's never seen a sunset, he's never seen anything, nothing at all. And in the very first moments when his eyes are opened, it seems he only has eyes for the Lord Jesus Christ and immediately after receiving his sight, he follows the Lord Jesus in the world. And why is it that we as Christians are so taken with the world, and that rather than our eyes being upon the Lord Jesus Christ, our eyes are on this world? Let's learn something here from this man and follow the Lord Jesus, who has restored our spiritual sight and has saved our souls. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's pray.